Good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. We have Jeff Dowder on the line with us. Jeff is going to be talking with us here momentarily about our investigation into, you know, I kind of went off a couple weeks ago on this user, this Twitter handle by the name of iPokesmot. A guy that, you know, if you're in the business that I'm in, you've got any number of a-holes, shall we say, to put it kindly, to put it respectfully, any number of a-holes that, or to use the French, Margaret, what would that be?
Phil, don't start mocking the way I...
I'm not mocking anything. What would it be?
It would be a hole.
Yeah, it'd be a hole.
You know, this is what I mean. I was bringing a French pronunciation so that you...
So we'd talk gooder?
Aren't you fun?
Oh, come on. Will you relax? I think you're right, bud. I think it would be a hole. So you get any number of these people that may hurt. This guy went over the line with me and went after my family and went after my home. Now, as I was just saying to my off-air, as I was saying to my pre-show audience, the BSPs, people that have a backstage pass, which, of course, you're invited to have a backstage pass as well. All you have to do is go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass to our website. As I was saying to them, that's a death sentence. That would be a death sentence. Any one of you listening to me right now, any of you watching me right now, you know exactly where I'm coming from. We're all up for grabs in this world. But if somebody goes after your home and your family, now, you don't care what happens to you. You're going to find that individual, and you're going to begin to just take body parts away from that person, you know. So Jeff Dowder is on the line with us. Jeff, you've been a part of some of the investigation into who this guy is. Tell us a little bit about what you found out.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Mr. Henry. We feel that... I just think that we feel he is old...
That's what I was just saying to my pre-show audience.
Yeah, we think that he is not a young person. We think he's old. And by old, I mean, you know, in the neighborhood of your age. We do feel that he has a very strong interest in radio and a very strong interest in, you know, radio technology. We do feel that he is... a frustrated person. We feel that he does have anger issues. We feel that he, you know, has frustrations as to wanting to be bigger and better and more, you know, more. You know, I'm a little bit nervous right now.
You're doing good, Jeff.
Just to be more better at.
Well, not more better. You mean to be better?
Yeah, to be better, and. We feel that he is so insinuated into the sort of background of the Internet that it's very difficult to trace and to track his IP address, that he's using proxies, or at least that's what we thought. And we came up with a couple of the IP addresses that we felt he was using as a proxy that were pretty ingenious. And one of them...
Jeff, Phil, can I say something?
What?
Well, Jeff, may I?
Yeah, please go ahead.
What Jeff has to report is a little troubling, and that's why he's hesitant.
What do you mean troubling? What? Spit it out, Jeff.
Well, we think that this iPokesmot person, we think it's you. We think you're harassing yourself.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but that was...
Wait a minute, wait, this is very funny. I'm harassing myself.
Well, I mean, the IP address come back. It come back your IP address.
What do you mean it came back my IP address?
It came back an IP address that was, we thought, was your IP address. You live in Santa Barbara, right?
No, I don't live in Santa Barbara. No, I don't. I live in Ventura.
Well, we still think that you were harassing yourself. Here's the reason.
Why would I? Wait, let me ask you something, Jeff.
No, hold up, just if you wouldn't mind, Ms. Ram, because there's this very strong feeling, the sense that I have, and many of the computer people that I talk with, is that the characteristics of this guy are very similar to you. Frustrated, not, you know, big enough, not rich enough,
Oh, I see. So that's all me, huh?
Well, Phil, there are some similarities.
Is that right? Is that right? How do you know all of this about me?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, it kind of screams off... It's kind of screaming off of you.
What do you mean it's screaming off of me?
Look, are you talking about a guy, and this guy pokes my... And this guy is old, and this guy is in the radio, and this guy has got money but wants to have more, and this guy has got... He's smart, but he wants to be, you know, smarter?
Yeah, and we figured it was you.
Well, what is this... It came back to my IP address.
Well, I mean... I don't really know what IP address it come back to, but it came back to an IP address that was similar to yours, and we felt that you might be using epoxy, and...
What do you mean, epoxy? You talking about a proxy?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's called called proxy.
What?
It's not called epoxy, it's called epoxy.
No, it is not called epoxy, it's called proxy. It's called a proxy. It means it's not the real IP address, it's a proxy IP address. Do you understand? Epoxy. That means glue.
What does?
Epoxy.
I'm sorry, I got that wrong, because I thought that had something to do with Louis Pasteur and...
You're talking about smallpox.
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Yeah, Jeff, do me a favor, will you? If you're trying to do jokes, don't do them.
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, well then just, even if you're not trying to do jokes, don't do them.
Which joke?
Epoxy. Louis Pasteur. That's about as flat and lousy a joke. I'm trying to figure out here who this guy is that's been bugging me and harassing my family, and you're telling me it's me.
That's the best that we can come up with right now. I'll get back on it, okay?
Yeah, I think you need to get back on it.
Well, it is possible. I thought that it was not likely that you would be harassing yourself.
Is that right?
Phil, don't be sarcastic.
Why can't I be sarcastic? Why, of all the incidences and all of the events in life that would call for sarcasm, this is one of them, that I'm harassing myself.
You could make it look like it's another person, see? You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
What we're trying to say is this. You're trying to make it look like you're being harassed so you get people to feel bad for you.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking.
In other words, I'm trying to create some publicity event.
Well, yeah, either that or just trying to get people to feel bad for you. Remember that guy, Morton Downey Jr., and they had a swastika that was painted on his face? He said he went into a bathroom stall and someone painted a swastika on his face in there?
Yeah, he said he got attacked by neo-Nazis.
I don't remember that. All I remember, Mr. Henry, was that the Morton Downey Jr., God rest his soul, went into a bathroom and a man painted a swastika on his face and left.
No, that's not what he said. He said he got beat up by neo-Nazis.
I did not hear that part.
Well, Jeff, he's not going to walk into a bathroom and a man's going to paint a swastika and leave. It makes it sound as if the bathroom attendant did it.
Yeah, this was in other words, it didn't happen, though.
That's it. That's what I'm trying to say. It didn't happen. He did that for publicity purposes. And that's what I think is... I don't know, and I'm going to have to get back to you on it, but I'm going to do further investigation, but I do think that you're harassing yourself.
Okay, let me ask you. In fact, I won't ask you. I'll tell you. You can conclude your investigation because I'm here to assure you that I'm not harassing myself.
I have every reason to believe you, Mr. Henry, but if you don't mind, I'd like to just conduct an independent survey of that, you know.
Well, it's the least you do if you got Jeff on it.
I didn't put Jeff on this job thinking that he was going to come up with some brilliant scheme like this that I'm harassing myself. Okay?
Well, the least you can do is let him follow through on the investigation.
To follow through to what?
In case you're wrong.
In case I'm wrong. In case I'm lying to you, in other words.
No, I'm not saying you're lying to me, but what if you're mistaken, is all I'm saying.
How could I be mistaken, man? How could I possibly be mistaken in the belief that I am not harassing myself? Unless I'm lying to you.
You could be mistaken.
Oh, my God.
What?
What are you talking about? How could I be mistaken, man? I'm telling you right now.
Phil, calm down, please.
Margaret, don't tell me to calm down. Don't ever tell anybody who has a righteous indignation, who has a reason to be upset, who has a reason to have rising anger, who has a reason to use volume in the tone of their voice, to use your intonation. Okay?
Yes, go ahead. Be sarcastic. Go ahead. Let it all out on me. I don't mind.
Okay, great. Don't ever tell a person like that to calm down. because that is another way of saying get angrier. When people tell you to calm down and they know that you really have good reason to be getting angry, they want you to get angrier. You want me to get angrier, don't you?
No, I don't. I want you to calm down.
Well, you've just said the wrong thing to get me to calm down.
Well, all right. Then get angrier, Phil.
Now, see, that calms me down.
Why?
Because now I don't want to get angrier. I'm already angry. I'm going to, you know, calm down now.
What?
Never mind. What I'm saying to you, Jeff, is you're mistaken. I'm not harassing myself.
If you wouldn't mind, would you give me the green light at least?
The green light for what?
To continue my investigation.
No, if you're on the wrong track, man, I don't want you to continue it.
All right, but I think I'm getting warmer.
You're getting warmer that it's me harassing myself.
I'm just saying.
Would you talk to him, please?
You want me to talk?
Yeah, Robert, you do it.
Hey, Robert, look, here's...
877-876-PHIL. What are you looking at?
Well, I don't know what your problem is. You had him go out and investigate who this person is. He's come back with his report. And now you want to kill the messenger for the message.
You don't see that this guy is a lunatic saying that I'm harassing myself. And when I tell him, no, it isn't me, he says to me, I may be mistaken. You don't see the idiocy of that.
I see a confused man who is trying to unravel a mystery.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll be right back here with more of this mystery. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You love this.
I did, but then I looked in the yellow pages.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and... Our number 877-876-PHIL, and we're also online at philhenryshow.com. Truly, when I tell you truly, get a backstage pass because you've got a nightly video cast into the wild and weird and sometimes violent world of Phil Hendry. You know all the behind the scenes. You find out all of the dirt. You find out all of the disgusting, vile dirt that there is to know about all kinds of personalities. I'm kidding. Well, not really, but... you can see the behind the scenes, and you also, can watch the show as we perform it, and have access to thousands of hours of our archived radio shows going back over a decade, close to 5,000 hours, and oh so very much more. We are in rehearsal now for a one-man show that we are hoping to present in the spring. This is going to be a revolutionary... This will be a revolutionary, I believe, presentation. It's going to be taking the theatricality of our radio show and putting it in front of a live audience. No, it's not going to I won't be doing a radio show. We're going to take the theatricality, that is, the characters we've created over the years, and we're going to put it in front of a audience. What we were talking about here in the last few minutes is this, it's a Twitter handle, and I don't think the guy ever thought that I was going to come out on the air and make him famous to the extent I don't know whether. Maybe he's playing with himself right now. He's so excited over it.
You're talking about this iPokesmont.
Yes. But we're talking about a guy, this iPokesmont guy, who has threatened my family, my home. And if people say, well, why don't you go to the cops? Let me explain something to you, okay?
Yeah, that's why. Why don't you go to the cops?
Don't worry. The cops are always my option, and believe me when I tell you, I've talked to cops. But I don't want to do... Here's what I want to do. This is not something that I'm just dumping in the lap of a cop. And the reason why I'm not just dumping it into the lap of a cop is there's one reason that's kind of the heading, and then a bunch of sub-reasons under it.
What?
Will you just take it easy, Margaret? By the way, what happened to Jeff?
I got him on him. You want to talk? I thought you was all done with him and everything.
Jeff, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, but you're talking about this guy, Smokepot, or whatever his name is, as I've told you very, very deeply, I believe it is you. I know you're saying it's not you. And
well, look, Jeff, it's not going to wash, man, that you are telling me it's me and that I could be mistaken. I know whether it's me or not.
All right, so you're pretty sure that it isn't you?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, I'll continue down this path of reasoning and
put him on hold, will you?
Wait a minute.
Just keep him on hold, and I'll talk to him. So, Here's why you don't go to a cop. And it's not that I haven't been to cops. I've been to cops. I got all kinds of people working this. I'm going to find out who this guy is, and I'm going to present the cops with the information. Because here's the deal. I'm not relying on cops to go out and do this kind of stuff. They got 5 million other jobs they're doing, and there's 5 million other heavy things that they're doing. There's 5 million other gigs that they've got. 5 million other, this sack of crap, this guy that thinks he's famous, this guy that has been, he's some old creep that hangs around these Usenet sites or Usernet, whatever the hell it's called. What is it, Robert?
Yeah, it's like an old peer sharing thing, one-on-one.
Whatever it is. It's a bunch of old slobs that like to go and pretend like they're in some secretive world. You can penetrate that world just as easy as any of them. But here's the thing. I'm not going to turn it over to a cop and then just sit and twiddle my thumbs, because cops, get to jobs as the seriousness of the job dictates. So if something is heavier, then they're going to do that. And that's just not what I'm going to do. I'm doing my own due diligence on this, and I'm finding out names and I'm finding out addresses, because guess what? This is the day and age now, folks, of do-it-yourself everything. Let's face it. And when I go to a cop with this stuff, it'll be because they're ready to throw this jackass into a cage. Because when you go after a guy's family, and I know you people, as I said, you're like me. When you go after somebody's family, now you have signed your own death warrant, your own death sentence, whatever you want to call it. Now, this guy is some old slob. And when I say old slob, he's about my age, maybe older. Some dirty old creep, or maybe he's a little bit younger, but he's a middle-aged guy who, for whatever reason, and I suspect it's because he's a frustrated, whatever, he wishes he was doing a radio show. Believe me, pal, I could have saved you all of this trouble. I could have saved you putting yourself in the crosshairs. I could have saved you all the hassle if you would have asked me. I tell you, this ain't no life, man. Let me tell you, this is a lot of work. And especially a pea brain like you, it's far more work than you ever anticipated. You ain't got it to do this kind of work. There isn't, judging from what I know about you, you haven't got the wherewithal and the staying power, to stay out of bed longer than a couple of minutes, man. You probably crawl right back into the sack. And God knows, the other thing about this guy that's really weird is he hates the hell out of women. And I don't know what his problem is there. I don't know what his problem, but he despises women.
These are individuals that are warped people. There's no question.
Exactly.
And they are individuals that have all kinds of personality problems. My question is this. Why are you harping on this on the air and giving him this notoriety?
Number one, he isn't anybody but a username. Okay? He doesn't have any notoriety. Other than the notoriety I give him. And the notoriety that he gets from me is the following thing. He threatened my family. That's the kind of garbage that he is. He's not funny. He's not this. He's not that. He apparently interviewed for a job with me. Apparently, he tried to get a job with me, and wisely, I didn't hire him. I don't know who he was at the time, but I didn't hire him, which shows you the good sense that I had. Number one, he probably was completely unfit for the job in terms of his skill set. Number two, he probably was a smarmy, wormy little piece of garbage when I interviewed him, and I probably, didn't want to have anything to do with him when I met him.
Didn't you say you think you know who the guy was?
I thought I knew who he was, but it's not the guy. It's not the guy. This guy is some middle-aged guy. And he is operating out there in the older world of the internet, folks. This is the internet that most of you know, and the internet that I know is the internet of modern times, of Windows XP, of Facebook and chat rooms. And this guy comes from the old school internet. And as a result of that, he thinks he's a real genius. He knows things that the rest of us, he knows where to go, the rest of us don't know where to go, et cetera, et cetera. Well, not anymore, man. All right, we're going to be right back. I don't want to talk anymore about this.
Well, that's what I was trying to say to you.
But I had Jeff on the... Is Jeff still there? Is Jeff there?
Yeah, he is.
Hold on for a minute. Jeff, sorry, man. What is that? Jeff, sorry. I'll get right to you, okay?
Whatever, man. I mean, you know, first of all...
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Take it easy. Take it easy. All right. Welcome back. 877-876-PHIL. All right. They're scared. Everybody here doesn't want me talking about this stuff. I'm just going to tell you this one last thing, okay?
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, would you let it go?
No, I'm not going to let it go. No, I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it. I have a business. I run a business. And because I run a business, and because I run a business that entails protecting copyrighted material, this, in the minds of some people, earns me death threats. And it earns me physical threats, and it earns me threats against my home. That's why all of this stuff's happening. Do you understand how absolutely mental that is? Because I protect my work. I'm not doing anything that Metallica didn't do when they went after Napster. I'm not doing anything that music publishers don't do every freaking day. I'm not doing anything that animators don't do. I'm not doing anything that people on Facebook aren't doing. Everybody on Facebook got upset when they thought it was understood, or there was some rumor that Facebook was going to own all of your material. They were going to own your photographs. They were going to own your posted material. And everybody on Facebook all of a sudden got upset about that. All of a sudden, Mr. and Mrs. America got hip to this idea of owning your material. Same thing on Instagram. Suddenly, everybody over on Instagram was having a cow because they thought they understood Instagram to say, we now own your photographs. Well, I don't blame them for being upset, but we've been getting upset about that stuff for 6 years. And what has it earned me? It's earned me getting death threats, getting some smart-ass, old, middle-aged sack of crap like I Pokesmot threatening my home and my daughter. It earns me a death threat from other people, because all I want to do is do business in America, and I'm doing business on the internet, and that in the world, in the autistic Asperger's syndrome, mentally retarded world of the troll, that's not good, that's not cool, and they think I'm going to sit still while they hassle my family or they issue threats against me. I got news for you, man. You signed your own death warrants. I can't be more. In fact, I poke smart. You know, you're an anonymous guy, so I can say this. I just as soon see somebody take your ass out.
That is a threat, Phil. You can get in trouble for that.
Oh, I can? How? Why? Who am I threatening?
You're threatening this man.
Who? What's his name? What's his name? Is he going to go to the cops and get protection against Phil Henry? He's going to have to give his real name, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, he is a real guy.
He may be a real guy, but he hasn't. I don't know if he's a real guy or not. He hasn't got a name. What's his name? If he's got a problem with me saying what I just said about him, that I hope somebody takes him out, then he better go to the cops and report that Phil Henry just issued a threat against him, and he's going to have to give his name to the cops. That's like that guy the other day that was hassling me on Facebook, some other sack of crap. And he says to me, are you threatening me? I said, yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I am threatening you. And I said, I guess you're going to have to, you know, go to the police, huh? He goes, yes, I will. I said, well, that means you're going to have to give him your name. Because right now, you're Mr. Anonymous here. So if you want to play that ball game, then friend, you're going to have to slap a name on it, man. You know, I mean, so that's how that game's played.
Well, I just think that what you're doing is ratcheting it up and ratcheting it up and making it worse and worse and worse.
No. That's the old traditional way of looking at these things. That's the old school way of looking at these things. That's the whole don't talk about it and they'll go, no. Not when they go after my family. Then all bets are off. Then I will, you know, the old I'll see them in hell comes into play. It's the old I'll see them in I-S-T-E.
I'll see them in hell.
Wait, I'll see I-L-S-C.
Not C, C as in S-E-E.
Yeah, I-L.
What do you mean I-L?
I'll.
It's, never mind.
No, I-L.
Never mind, bud.
But I'm going to figure it out anyway, okay?
Yeah, you go ahead and figure that out and let me know. New York police officers shot and wounded in separate instances. What the hell? It was a night of mayhem for three New York Police Department officers who were wounded in two separate shooting incidents in Brooklyn and the Bronx on Thursday. The Brooklyn shooting took place at 7:30 at the Fort Hamilton Parkway subway station at 62nd Street. Two plainclothes officers assigned to Transit District 34, Michael LeVay and Lukasz Kozicki, were on patrol when they observed a man moving between cars, a violation of transit regulations, moving between railway cars.
Yeah, I thought they meant like a parked car.
No, this is moving between railway cars, a violation of transit regulations. As the train approached the station, Kelly said the officers approached the man, who was sitting down, and asked him for identification. The man stood up and appeared to reach for his wallet, but instead pulled a 9mm Taurus handgun from his waistband and opened fire.
Good God.
Kozicki, age 32, was struck three times, once in each of his upper thighs and once in the groin. LeVay was shot in the lower back, but his vest stopped the bullet. Kelly said he managed to return fire, killing the suspect. A passenger in the same car was grazed in the leg. No one else was injured. Good. What is going on? Both officers were listed in stable condition at Lutheran Hospital, according to Mayor Michael Bloomberg. An hour earlier in the Bronx, Officer Juan Pichardo was working off duty at his family's car dealership when two men, one armed with a handgun, entered the dealership while two other men waited outside in a getaway car. After the two feigned interest in buying a car, one of them pulled out a handgun and ordered Pichardo and an employee onto the floor in the back office and started to ransack the place. A few minutes after the robbery, Officer Pichardo stood up and grabbed the gunman, who fired, striking the officer in the right thigh. Although wounded, Pichardo and the other employee wrestled the gunman to the ground and disarmed him. His accomplice fled in the getaway car with two others, but they were stopped a short distance away and arrested. Kelly said Pichardo had recognized the gunman as a member of a Bronx robbery crew. Nice going. You guys robbed a cop.
That's about the dumbest thing that'll ever be.
Yes, I agree.
We know, bud.
Yeah.
Mayor Bloomberg said, quote, "Tonight we're grateful that these three officers will be going home to their families." Absolutely. I think that every time there's distressed times, every time that this country, and, you know, I've seen it over and over again, every time we're in like a recession or we're in some down economic situation, you know, the crime thing kind of creeps up. Now, I don't know what the statistics are. I don't know whether there's a more serious crime these days or not, you know. The FBI comes out with their annual reports, but these bizarre... And when I say bizarre, I don't mean bizarre as in unusual, but the shooting of police officers and robberies in general, and just these kind of this brazen gunplay. You see it kind of enter the headlines when things start to go sour in the economy. And I think I've been seeing these stories out of New York. New York, for the longest time, for years and years and years, has been such a really truly a safe place, a peaceful place.
Well, yes, the crime rate is down, and and it was made safe by the efforts, the combined efforts of the police and the different mayors.
Mayor Giuliani.
I knew you. Do you do that on purpose, or?
Do I do what on purpose?
Bringing up a Republican.
Well, ain't Bloomberg a Republican?
If he is, he doesn't lord it over people.
Well, what's wrong with bringing up Giuliani?
What's wrong with bringing up... Why do you have to bring up any one mayor?
Yeah, why don't you bring up, like, Merrick... Well, I better not say, because his name's dirty.
Who?
He's talking about Mayor Koch. He doesn't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, you get lost, bud.
I know how to pronounce it.
So you're saying that because Giuliani was a Republican mayor, you don't want me to mention him because that gives too much credit to Republicans for cleaning up New York? Is that it?
All I'm saying is... I think it is the police. I think we should give them the credit, the people of New York. But I don't want to see any one mayor given credit. I think Giuliani's been given way too much credit. I really do. I think that this was the combined effort of the police commissioner, the people of New York, and Giuliani was lucky enough to be able to pull... I think he pulled the trigger on it.
Well, there's a nice...
Yeah, I'm talking about pull the trigger, man. Very unfortunate use of a term.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Oh, very unfortunate. Well...
Well, I think in that instance, they're right. That was kind of an unfortunate use of the term. Well, whoever is responsible or was responsible for how, you know, how well New York has been doing, and it's been doing very well. You know, I remember New York when in the 80s and 70s, when it was a place of people were afraid to be in New York. People were, you know, they called it Fear City. They called New York Fear City. And to visit New York later on, you know, when things started to calm down and they started to clean out some of the, the crappy element. What really cracks me up about New York is the following thing. People say this, the old timers, boy, I sure do miss Times Square. I miss Times Square. What do you miss about Times Square? Oh, the characters. I loved all the characters of Times Square, the junkies, the hookers, the... In other words, the crime is what you... No. Yeah, bull crap. I love these people. You know, here's a city, New York, that was just... It was drowning in the incidents of crime, whether it was people being robbed or people being assaulted or people being murdered. Here was a city that was not only drowning in it, the image of the city was going to hell in a handcart all over the world, and they, you know, they needed to do something about it. So they did. It became a city where you literally can bring your family, New York City, and your kids can walk out into the middle of Times Square at 10:30, 11:30 at night, and you're not afraid for their safety at all. That's New York. Now that's an accomplishment. And what do you hear from a lot of these old-timers? Oh, boy, you know, Times Square just ain't the way it used to be, where you could just kind of walk out there and get raped any time of the day or night. Is that it? Yeah. That's great. Some of those people, I think what they're doing is they're posturing, they're sort of posturing hard-ass. Like, boy, I remember when you could hang hard in New York and Times Square, and they don't quite remember the way it was. Maybe it wasn't so bad for them. I don't know.
Well, maybe they were one of the people that, you know.
Maybe. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me just add my voice to the chorus of voices. Yes, we're very, very happy to hear. We're very, very happy to hear that those police officers are safe and secure. George Lucas is engaged, the creator of Star Wars. That and other news when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
Hey, the world famous Phil Henry Show. By the way, if you're a podcast kind of person, you like to download podcasts, you enjoy, listening to the various kinds of things that they have over there on the iTunes podcast thing, we recommend the Phil Henry podcast. Episode 100 is out today. There's like 100 episodes that you can subscribe to, and you can get a hold of all of them by just going to iTunes or go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and hit the podcast banner, and that will take you directly to our podcasts, all 100 of them, and you can download them and enjoy them and do the do and the funky chicken too, you know.
What's the one about today?
The one today is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the one today is Vernon Dozier, and he's talking about Martha Stewart when she went to prison.
Oh, he's saying that Martha Stewart going to prison was going to throw the American woman back into the dark ages.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, would you shut up? I don't like him laughing like that.
Why?
Because I think it's asinine, Phil, that Martha Stewart going to prison throws the American woman into the dark ages.
Well, I think what Vernon was saying was that Martha Stewart, in teaching American women how to, for instance, float candles in pools...
Yeah, and make dolls out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Not make dolls out of toilet paper.
Oh, hold on. What did she teach women to do?
What do you mean she taught women how to make dolls out of toilet paper?
She taught women how to make dolls out of a toilet bowl.
out of a toilet bowl.
What are you talking about, Bud?
Bud's saying that... Can I?
Yeah, go ahead. Explain it for me, because I don't talk good.
He's saying that she taught women on one of her shows how to make a doll out of a toilet roll. You know,
You mean the cardboard tube?
Yeah.
Oh, how to make dolls out of cardboard toilet tubes?
Yeah.
Well, and that's going to throw the American woman into the dark ages if she doesn't know how to do that.
Well, that's what these idiots are saying, and I think it's...
Well, anyway, that's Vernon Dozier. That's episode 100, so check it out. All right. Margaret, you have some Hollywood to report on, and the Hollywood to report on is, I believe, George Lucas, is it not?
It is indeed, Phil. Star Wars creator George Lucas is engaged, ladies and gentlemen. He of Star Wars, you know, the great creator of this epic Star Wars, George Lucas, is engaged to a woman that I think... Can I be honest? Because...
Go ahead.
Well, let me first of all, she's a beautiful girl. He's 68 years of age. She is 43. That means that he was 25 when she was born. So that gives you some context. Secondly, her name is Melody Hobson. She is an investment firm president. I want to say, Phil, she just has a very rich tan, but I can't tell whether she is black or she has a deep tan.
She's black.
She looks black. What are you talking about?
Look at that woman's face. Does she look like a Caucasian?
No, she does not. She looks African-American.
I resent the lies. More than anything, I resent the lies.
Hold on, Ms. Brady. That lady is a black woman.
How do you know?
She looks like a black woman. What do you mean she's a woman with a deep, rich tan?
She looked at first blush.
There isn't a white woman on the face of the earth that I know of that can get a tan like that. Not a one. Now,
Are you talking about European American? What about Hispanic?
Not even a Hispanic. Are you nuts? Then she's Hispanic. Why don't you say she's Hispanic?
Because I think, isn't Hispanic white?
Most people say if she's Hispanic, she's Hispanic.
I'm staying out of this because, you know, if I say what I want to say, then people will misinterpret it. But I would say I would have to agree with Miss Gray. She looked like a white woman that has a deep, rich chocolate tan.
Man, you are lying, no good, too big.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm telling you right now, Margaret, you must be nuts, if not downright, excuse me for saying this, dumb.
I knew you'd have to start to drag me through a sewer. I knew you'd have to take me and drag me by the back of the head and rub my face in sewage. That's what I knew you'd have to do. That's the only way you can make a point.
Excuse me, why are you saying that?
But calling me dumb.
That's grabbing you by the back of the head and rubbing your face in sewage.
You know full well, Phil, I'm not stupid.
I know you're not stupid. So I have to ask myself, why are you saying that that woman, her name is Melody Hobson, she's 43, she's very beautiful. Why are you saying she's white?
Because she looks Caucasian. Look at the face.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Man, I don't understand because she has a...
I understand that she's got a deep, rich, nutty complexion.
What do you mean, nutty complexion, man?
What's that supposed to mean?
She looks like, to me, that's the complexion. It's like a nut.
Yes, it's a burnt nut complexion. What's wrong?
Get Mavis on the phone.
Yeah, get my aunt, you know.
What are you talking about, your aunt?
Get my aunt on the phone.
Get Mavis on the phone. Let's talk to her about this. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, Margaret. There's nothing you got to say to me. There's nothing that anybody has to say to me. That woman is African American. Why you are? I think you're being cruel, and I think you're being borderline racist.
I knew you'd bring that up. I really do. I knew that.
Mavis. Mavis.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
How you doing? You know, we're on the air right now. Did you see this picture of George Lucas?
Yeah, I saw George Lucas on a newspaper. Robert called me up.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with his neck. Robert, is that you?
No, honey, that's not about his neck.
Well, there's something wrong with his neck, but I can't.
No, we're not calling you about George Lucas's neck. We're calling about the lady that he is married.
Yeah, found out is that's the lady, the white woman, that is not a white woman. She's a black woman, but she looked like a white woman with a deep, rich, nutty complexion.
She looks like a white woman.
See, that right there, Mavis, it's Margaret. So you have validated what I said.
No. Robert told me what you said. You said you think she's a white woman. And I said, no, she's not a white woman.
No, I said she looked white.
No, but you think she's white. And she's not white. She is black. She's the kind of black woman that looks like a white woman with a deep, rich, chocolatey tan.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't say it either. I know what both you said, and neither one of you said anything that even approached what it was that I was, that Robert said that you said. Robert said that you said is not what I think, what I think it was that you said.
What they said was they thought she was white.
She looks white, but she is the kind of black woman that looks white with a deep, rich,
nutty tan.
Yeah, a chocolate brown.
Thanks, Mavis.
Yeah, I gotta lay down.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to bother her.
Yeah, she's a little tired today, man. She was at the track. She was at Santa Anita.
Okay. We'll be right. She was at the track, huh?
Did she win?
No.
All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. She was at Santa Anita. I was over near Santa Anita today.
Yeah. Try to get a parlay.
Phil
going.
Hendry.
Parlay?
Yeah, she had a show parlay going that busted the sixth rate.
What is this? Your 2023 self could really surprise you. What the hell is this?
I don't know.
It's a classic exercise at the start of the new year. We reflect back on just how much we've changed. We are more mature, more patient, less impulsive, we may tell ourselves. But when it comes to projecting forward, to imagining our future selves, most of us find it hard to believe we will change very much at all. We'll always have the same personality, same traits, same values, best friends, and favorite things. So in other words, we look at the past, we go, wow, look at how I've changed. What about the future? I'm not going to change at all. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with Margaret Gray and whatever your name is and whatever your name is.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And anyway, welcome back to our program. And I was just commenting, we're back from our, you know, Christmas vacation, New Year's vacation. And man, it's been, I'm having to slug through this, you know.
Well, all of that alcohol.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. What do you mean all that alcohol?
Didn't you tell me that you polished off a 12-pack of Heineken?
Well, yeah, but I had a vacation for a solid week and a half. What makes you think that that one 12-pack of Heineken is what's making me drag my ass into the new year?
Well, it's, you know,
that's a lot of beer.
That was way back around Christmas, man. Don't you think I've gotten over that? And by the way, I did not polish off a 12-pack of Heineken. I shared it with a few other people.
Well, how many did you drink?
Probably four.
Yeah. You said that...
Bud, think about it. If I'm sharing a 12-pack with, say, three other people or two other people, the most I'm going to have are four.
Yeah, but not if you're hogging them.
Not if you start to hog them. That's what I was going to say.
If I start to hog them, meaning what?
Like you're Bogarting a beer. You're standing over the 12-pack going, hey, you know, I bought it.
No, I don't do that. Maybe you do that. I don't do that, okay?
You don't stand over the beer and say, how many is that? How many have you had?
No, I don't do that, no.
You do it with donuts?
Do I do it with donuts?
My uncle did that. He'd say, how many donuts have you had? I'd say, well, and I'd say, what business is it of yours? Because he is pretty heavy, you know.
Yeah, people that have too much weight, that are counting the donuts that others have, that in and of itself is a bit of a... I think it's an assault on one's relationships, on one's being, on one's self-worth, you know.
Margaret, what do you got to put that in such big terms for?
What?
If a guy is too fat and he's counting how many donuts everybody's eating, just call it what it is. He's a busybody glutton. What is it with the...
No, Phil, I don't do that. I don't simplify things just so I can make it easy for myself to understand. I'm saying...
I'm not simplifying it to make it easy for myself to understand. I'm saying, what do you got to go off into this big, it's an assault on one's being? What does that mean?
When you are fat, and you've been fat, right?
Yes, I've been fat.
When you're 300 pounds, and you're hovering over the box of donuts that someone just came back with from Spud Nuts, are you following?
Yes.
And you're counting how many donuts everyone's eating, you are assaulting the very nature of family and relationship.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what it is you're talking about.
I don't understand it either. What are you saying?
Are you purposefully stupid, or are you just doing it because it's a new year?
But, Margaret, what I'm asking you is, what does that mean when you say a fat man hovering over a box of donuts?
I didn't say hovering over. I said when you're a fat man counting the number of donuts.
All right, that other people are having.
Yes.
All right. He's assaulting the very nature of relationship. Is that what you said?
What are you waving your hand around for?
Yeah, Phil, you look like you've got some autism. You're going, ew.
Yeah, I'm saying you don't wave your hand around.
Hey, don't worry about me waving my hands around and watch it with the autism crack, okay?
You were calling those other people autistic. You said they had Asperger's.
That's me. I'm simply asking you, why can't you just put it into simple terms? If a fat man is hanging over a box of donuts, counting all the donuts other people are eating, that guy's got... He's fat. He's got a problem with...
Yeah, go ahead. You were the one that didn't like the way I was describing it.
I'm saying he's a glutton and a busybody glutton. How about that?
I think that's cruel to talk about a fat man being a glutton. There's psychological reasons, too.
There are a lot of psychological... My aunt said she worked with fat people at one of these occupational centers, you know.
Yeah.
And she said, man, people are fat for a lot of reasons. You know, they're fat because they like to eat. They're fat because they don't get enough exercise. They're fat because someone like bacon. You know, you may like bacon. You may not overeat, but you like bacon.
I love bacon, but I don't overeat bacon, and I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you overeat. You're fat because you eat too many donuts.
In other words, you're fat because you overeat, man. What are you giving me all this 5, 6 different reasons for why people are fat? You're fat because you eat bacon. You're fat. Oh, here's another reason. You're fat because you eat donuts. And another reason is you're fat because you don't exercise. It's all the same fat, man. Okay? It's all the same fat man, too. So I used it as a pronoun, and I used it as an adjective and a pronoun. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
In any event, we were talking about this, you know, a fat man hovering over a box of donuts. I completely just spaced on what it was I was talking about. Oh, 2023, really surprising you. So, you know, like me, I look back on this last year, and I say, well, I lost weight, and I have, you know... And I bought my company, and we're rehearsing a one-man show, and we're sort of evolving. 10 years from now, I know exactly where I'm going to be. I'm going to be living in an isolated mountaintop villa with walls and gunmen in towers and about 3 or 4 Ferraris in the driveway, 6 women that are living on property but in their own luxury cabanas, each to a cabana. There'll be 6 of them. Me in the main house.
You really are a pig, aren't you?
Oh, take it easy. I'm kidding around, okay?
Yeah, but that's where you want to be, though, right?
I wouldn't mind it, yeah, you know, but who knows? You know, 10 years from now, man, I don't really care. I want to live my life one day at a time.
See, what does that mean exactly, you want to live your life one day at a time?
I mean, I want to enjoy my life every day. I'm not even going to think about where I'm going to be 10 years from now. I'm not even going to think about that. What's that going to get? What is that? I want to be successful. I want to have a good time with my life. I want to, you know, I'll put my money away and I'll just continue to explore this grand mystery that is the, you know, our existence here on this planet.
Yeah, and you said to her not to be...
Not to be what? Father James McCorders joins us from Belmar Academy and from the Belmar Rectory there in Glendale, California. And Father McCorders, you heard me. I was kind of waxing... philosophic as we're looking at this story here. Your 2023 self could really surprise you. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Well, I have to tell you that where I see myself in 10 years is I'm dead in 10 years because I'm 63 years of age now.
You're dead?
Oh, yes. I think the odds are that I'd be dead. I'd be dead. And that's where I see myself.
Father, this is Margaret Gray. Are you saying that you see yourself in heaven?
I don't know. I hope. But I'm talking about the physical manifestation of the life that we have. And if you say to me, well, where are you going to be in 10 years, Father? I'd say I'm going to be underground. I know I'll be underground because they'll bury me. So I'll be underground.
You'll be dirt napping.
No, I don't use terms like dirt nap. I don't think it's respectful. And I don't think it's... Would you take this, too? And take the cantaloupe. I've got 3 cantaloupes in the back, Mr. Jones. We just come from the market, Phil. I've got Mrs. Jones as our housekeeper, and she's taking in the cantaloupe now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Taking in the cantaloupe.
Yes. And it's not what you think.
What? I didn't say anything.
Well, I heard Miss Gray, oh, she's taking in the cantaloupe as if it's said.
Father, I didn't mean anything by that.
The point that I'm making is, in 10 years, I'm going to be dead. In 10 years, I'm going to be underground. In 10 years, I'll be underground, and the clothing that I'm in will have rotted considerably. What else do you want to know?
All right, so you don't see much of a future for yourself, then?
I think I've got a great future. I think in the coming years, I'm going to be able to complete my work, doing God's work here on earth, and ministering to the good people of our parish. And I'm hoping at some point, between now and then, to write a book, to learn how to play badminton. I'd like to travel to India, and I'd like to see some of the sights of the world in that part of the world that I've never been to before. I'd like to go to Africa. I'd like to travel, if I can, to Mexico, back to Zihuatanejo, to the people of Zihuatanejo there in the parish, and help with the Father Torres and the good work he was doing there. But that's an awful lot that I want to do in the next 10 years, and I don't know if I'll be able to do all of that. So I think that what will happen to me is I'll die, and I'll be buried, and so in 10 years, I'll be underground in dirt, and there you go.
Well, do you think you'll have done all the things that you wanted to do?
No, I don't. It's too much. There's too much I want to do. Because not only that, but I eventually want to somehow, and I don't think I'll be able to do it, is to get married. And
you're a priest.
I know I'm a priest. But if I do all the things that I need to do as a priest, then I'm thinking of giving up the priesthood and getting married. Now, do I have time to do all of that?
Well, why don't you do that now?
Because I haven't done everything that I need to do.
You want to go to India. You want to go to Mexico.
I want to go to India. I want to go to Mexico. I want to continue with the work that I'm doing here at Belmar.
Okay.
I want to learn how to bowl. I want to learn how to archery.
You want to learn how to bowl? You want to learn how to do archery? What else?
Don't start asking me questions like everything I want to do is ridiculous. I like archery.
Yeah, but what about bowling? Who cares? Don't you want to do something other than bowl?
No, I want to bowl. I want to do it all.
And you don't think you'll be able to do it all because you think in 10 years you're going to be dead?
Yes, I think that it's a reasonable expectation I'll be dead in 10 years. So there you go. So that's what I've seen for myself, okay? The fact that you bother me when I'm coming back from the supermarket...
Wait, I didn't mean to bother you.
Well, this one here calls me up and says, Father, we need to have you on the air to talk about where you're going to be in 10 years. I said, right now... At the rate I'm going, I'm going to be a dead man. He said, well, that's good. You go on the air and say that. I said, well, I'm getting groceries out of my car. Mrs. Jones is here, and she's got 2 cantaloupes, and this one says, I'll bet she does.
Did you say that, bud?
I was joking around.
I didn't take it as a joke. And
why don't you have a little bit of respect when you're talking to people, okay?
I was joking around. He said she's got 2 cantaloupes, and I said, where? And he said, up front.
Yes, because she was carrying the cantaloupes in front of her.
Well, I know that's what you're saying.
What? How likely is it, Bud, that I'm going to be commenting in a crude manner about a lady that is the housekeeper for the priest, for the diocesan priest here?
I don't know. All you said was, she's holding on to her cantaloupes up front. And then I said, I'll bet she is.
You're talking to a priest, you jackball.
I tried to tell him that.
Yeah, but, well...
Well, what? Are you going to talk about child molestation again?
Yeah, because that's what they were doing.
Those guys did. I didn't. That was a long time ago.
Bud, you ought to apologize to Father Recorders.
I'm sorry.
You see, Bud, when you say something like that, it's disrespectful not only to the woman, It's disrespectful to her friends. It's disrespectful to myself. It's disrespectful to our house. This is where our priests live. Now, yes, I'll grant you she's got large breasts. And she was holding them together.
All right, will you hold on for a minute, because now you're getting into an area.
But you asked me the question.
No, I didn't ask you anything like that. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous. Yes, she's got large breasts. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Why did you hang up on me?
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can watch our nightly video cast. You can hear our show as well by way of podcast. It's delivered automatically to you if you, as a subscriber to the Phil Hendry website, so choose to have our daily show podcast delivered to you, and then that will, you know, that's cool. And then let's see what else. All kinds of stuff. Thousands of hours of downloadable. Plus, we are now Apple-friendly. That means that all of our on-demand, you can watch or listen to on your iPod, on your iPhone as well as your iPad. And very, very soon, and I mean very soon, what are you shaking your head for, Margaret?
Oh, Phil, you've been talking about this.
I just talked to the guys today. We're this close to launching the new website design. You're going to love it. You're going to love it, baby. I'm telling you. And again, part of that will be live. All of the streaming, the live streaming, will be viewable on your iPhone as well as your iPad. So my Apple subscribers, hey, baby, a big thumbs up. You know, I'm with you. Huh? Love you. Love you, babe.
Oh, my God. That's like saying shove it deep and wide.
No, it isn't. They know I'm kidding around. But I... What was that?
That was me breaking off a hold, you jackass. You had me on hold now for the last 3 minutes.
I'm in a commercial break, for God. What was that, bud?
Yeah, he jumped off a hold so much that he made iTunes go, see there, like that.
I didn't do anything to iTunes. You put me on hold. So I broke off.
Will you get that hold button fixed once and for all?
I called a guy up. They're backed up till Tuesday.
Who is?
The hold button people.
There's some company out there that deals with hold buttons.
The hold button people?
Yeah, I call them up. It's, you fix the hold button? They go, what, is the guy breaking off? And I go, yeah. And he goes, where? And he go, and then I go...
All right, bud, don't tell me to freaking give me the Moby Dick version of the thing, okay? What? This is a on-hold guy?
Excuse me, but I'm here. And I'm a real person with feelings. Do you want to talk to me, or do you want to talk to Dickman?
Hold on for a minute, if you don't mind, Father, now that you've busted off a hold.
All right, fine.
Anyway, bud, would you put him on hold again?
You're just begging for it.
You're right. Father?
Yeah, don't tempt fate, my boy.
Hold on. Bud, just don't hum, okay?
Don't hum? In other words, I can't sing.
I'd rather you not while I'm talking to Dickman. All I want to ask Bud about... All I want to ask you is the following.
Hooray!
Hang up on him. I want to ask you this. The hold button...
You know something? You are... What Father McQuarters did is weird, but you yourself are weird for even countenancing it, for having him back on the program, for allowing him on the air, for just being you, Phil. You scare me.
So I got a guy that's breaking off a hold, but I scare you. Now, Bud.
Would you two finish your business and get back to the program?
I told you there's a guy at a hold button company.
What do you mean a hold button company?
This guy says, swears up and down that he'll fix it. Now, we met this guy, and you're not going to like where we met him, but we met this guy, and we said we had a problem.
What do you mean I'm not going to like where you met him? Where'd you meet him?
At Jumbo's Clown Room.
At Jumbo's Clown Room, at a strip club.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's, what, he's some kind of a maintenance guy that was in having a couple of pops?
Yeah, and we were watching the dancers, and,
So I want to be clear, you're talking about Jumbo's Clown Room with a woman sitting here.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray, but Mr. Henry asked me about it.
You're talking about Jumbo's Clown Room as if I'm not even here. Is that it?
No, Margaret, we're not. I asked them where they met this guy, this maintenance guy who runs a hold button company, and they said Jumbo's Clown Room, okay? What do you want me to say? Do you want me to tell them not to talk about it?
I'd rather that they not mention Jumbo's Clown Room.
All right, so you met this guy, and then what?
Well, but now I'm thinking about Jumbo's Clown Room.
Will you just let me ask these guys this question? So now what?
So the guy said he's got a hold button company.
What does that mean, he's got a hold button company?
Guy heard your show, and he heard a couple of people bust off hold. He said, are you two guys the guy on the Henry show? I said, yeah. He said, you still had a hold button? I said, yeah. He said, well, I fixed the hold button. I got a hold button company.
Yeah, and he took us outside to the van, and it said Art's on Hold Button Company, something like that.
Art's Hold Button Company?
Well, yeah. And anyway, he said that he could come and fix it, so we set him up for tomorrow morning. He's going to come to the studio.
Well, I want one of you guys here to watch this guy work, okay? I don't want some guy in here just fooling around.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, and what's he going to do?
Going to fix the hold button so nobody can bust off of it.
See, in my opinion, I think that there's something wrong with the hold button. And if there isn't anything wrong with the hold button, people are busting off a hold, I think we need a priest. I think we may need Father McCorders that I just hung up on, because we may need to have this whole studio exorcised, you know?
Like Jumping Jack?
No, not like Jumping Jacks. Exorcised as in drive the demons out, not the Eminem interpretation. Exorcised as in drive the devils out, see?
Yeah, Eminem said they're doing Jumping Jack.
That's because Eminem doesn't know what the word means. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
What about me? What about me? And I was on the...
World famous Phil Henry Show. Now, just don't blow my mind or try to confuse me or anything, because I got something very, very interesting to read, and I don't want you guys asking me all these questions, okay?
Well, that's really giving us credit.
Yeah, what do you think's going to happen?
This is very confusing, and every time you open your yap, especially you, bud, you get me all screwed up in the head, because I think this is... Now, listen to this, folks. Your 2023 self could easily surprise you. What does that mean? It means that Today, if you're asked what kind of a person you will be like 10 years from now, it is very common for people, whether it's you, me, it is an average, the average person generally predicts very little change. We generally think that we're going to be kind of the same person, we're going to have a little bit more of this, a little bit less of that, a little bit more of something else, and but we don't really predict radical change for ourselves. In other words, we don't see ourselves being much different 10 years from now than we are right now. However, as the first paragraph indicated when I read this to you guys before the break, if you look back on your life of, say, the last year or 2 years, you see a lot of change. You can probably see what a lot of stuff that you've been through, a lot of things you've learned. And so it's interesting. Even though we've lived through the last 10 years, and if you look back on your life over the last 10 years, you'd probably say something along the lines of, I sure as hell wouldn't have predicted all of that stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that happened, and consequently changed me a lot. So you know that you've been through a lot and have changed quite a bit over the last 10 years, and yet if I were to say to you, what do you think you'll be like 10 years from now, the average person says, kind of the same person. So we don't really quite get it. Now, here's what this study did to prove this point. It's a little tough, but I will interpret it the best way I know how. Instead of asking people, what are you going to be like in 10 years, and then waiting 10 years and seeing if any of those changes came true, this is what they did. They ask people questions about the next 10 years. For instance, how much money will you pay to see your favorite band? How much more money will you pay to see your favorite band 10 years from now? Let's say your favorite band is Linkin Park or whatever. Bud, isn't that your favorite band?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer would be, don't say, no, it's not. But let's say you'd pay $50 more.
Okay.
All right.
I wouldn't, though.
Now, they also asked people 10 years older than you. How old are you, 19?
Yeah.
All right, then they asked 29-year-olds, how much money would you pay today to see your favorite band of 10 years ago? So you see what they were saying? They're asking people 10 years younger, how much money would you pay 10 years from now? How much more money than you would pay today? How much more money would you pay 10 years from now to see your favorite band? And the average person said, I'd pay $50 more.
So this would be to see their favorite band 10 years from now?
Yeah, their absolute favorite band. How much more money, knowing the prices go up, they say, I'd pay $50 more. Then they went to people that were 10 years older than, like, say, Bud's group would be 19. They went to 29-year-olds, and they asked them, how much money would you pay today to see your favorite band of 10 years ago? How much more money would you pay than you paid, say, 10 years ago? So let's say my favorite band 10 years ago, I don't know what my favorite band was 10 years ago. It's probably the same band that I had. But let's just say you had a favorite band. Those people that were 10 years older did not say they would pay that much more money. They would pay a lot less.
So the point being that they learned over the 10 years that it wasn't quite worth the extra $50.
Exactly. Exactly. So when we say, here's the way we are today and here's the way we're going to be in 10 years, we generally don't have it right, because I understand that all people are individuals, and I know that individually we're going to have very specific answers. But taken as a group, you know, which is kind of the way, you know, psychologists and sociologists work, because they're working just on sort of the average view of the human animal. Taken as a group, we think we're going to do thus and so in 10 years, and it, based on this study, is not necessarily going to be that way. We're going to be much different. So those 29-year-olds are different from those 19-year-olds. Those 29-year-olds are the 19-year-olds 10 years down the road. The 19-year-old said, I would pay $50 more in 10 years to see my favorite band today. The 29-year-old says, my favorite band of 10 years ago is not worth $50 more to see today.
How much did they say?
Well, it was a lot less. You know, I don't know if they actually put a dollar and cents value on it, but it was much less than $50. You know?
See, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know I wouldn't, you know.
Well, you did say you would pay less, right? You said $50 just to be a good guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay, because I know I probably wouldn't like the same music.
See, that's not, but most people say, oh, I'm always going to love this music. I'm always going to, and that's generally, I got to tell you something. I don't know, if somebody would have asked me when I was in high school, are you always going to love Jimi Hendrix's music? I'm not exactly sure how I would answer that. I probably would have said yes. But if somebody's going to say to me, is that the only music you'll ever listen to? I would definitely say no. I would have said, oh, yeah, I'll listen to a lot of different music. But if you go get into my car and drive around town with me today,
which I have done, and you've got nothing but Jimi Hendrix playing.
No, I don't have nothing but.
No, it's mostly Jimi Hendrix.
I got a lot of Hendrix, okay? I admit it. But, yeah, and so, no, I don't exclusively listen to it, but I pretty much, you know, that's my favorite music. In other words, my favorite artist today is pretty much my favorite artist that has been my whole life. Is that a function of my age? I guess. I mean, I don't know. So anyway, this was this study that was done. I'm trying to figure out who this was. Well, in the journal Science, the author was Daniel Gilbert. He's a psychology professor at Harvard University. And Daniel Gilbert is quoted as saying, I have to tell you that never in my wildest dreams, when I had a long ponytail and I was hitchhiking around the country and playing my guitar, did it occur to me that my greatest joy would be sitting next to the love of my life, eating dinner on a TV tray and watching Jeopardy. Now, that's the author of this study.
So he was a wild hippie, and
yeah, there were a lot of hippies back then that said, oh, man, you know, when I'm in my 40s, I'm going to be like, you know, they probably, every hippie thought they were going to be Steve Jobs, to be honest with you. Or they thought they were going to be the head of some revolutionary effort, you know, whether it was political or pharmaceutical or, you know. But here's a guy being very honest, you know, when I was hitchhiking around the country, I was playing my guitar. He's basically doing his hippie thing. That his greatest joy in life would be sitting next to his wife, watching Jeopardy, eating dinner from a TV tray.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, he sold out, man.
He sold out. Yeah, well, you know, that's probably what he would have said about himself.
Well, don't you think that's a sellout? Don't you think that's a cop-out?
No, I don't. I think that's a man who has found his niche. He's found his place. That's what he likes. What are you going to do, okay?
Yeah, I think that another thing, ask his wife if she's digging it.
That's a very good question. Maybe the joy of his life is sitting on his, to use your words, Phil, sitting on his dead can watching Jeopardy and eating God knows what. I'll bet you she is dying inside. She is living a life of absolute quiet desperation, in the words of Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Don't be sarcastic.
No, in the words of Henry David Thoreau.
Yeah, most men do, Mr. Henry, lead of a desperation.
Lives of quiet desperation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got the three musketeers of self-reliance. I got the three musketeers here of esoteric kind of stuff. Existential jazz and all that.
Well said.
Thank you. Henry David Thoreau said the what? Maybe she's happy. Have you thought about that?
Have you thought about the fact that here's some guy sitting on his can watching Jeopardy?
He's not sitting on his can. He's the author of a study that was published in the journal Science. He's a psychology professor at Harvard. He did this study that has received all of this notoriety and is getting mass attention in the mass media. We're talking about it on our show. I say this cat is doing more than sitting on his dead can watching Jeopardy.
And yet he did say that's the biggest joy in his life.
Well, it may be his biggest joy, but he's obviously doing more with his life than sitting on his can. And I'd be willing to bet you that his wife, whoever she is very proud of her husband.
Maybe she's a member of the faculty, too. Maybe she does things. Okay, Margaret, you know, I'm not saying she doesn't.
God.
I just think you're not seeing the whole picture.
Whatever, okay?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever the hell ever.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Denzel.
Yeah, you sound like Denzel in Training Day.
Just shut up.
Hey, Margaret, take it easy, okay? We're just talking. He says, but now I'm the guy who does that, and I know with great confidence I'll never change. So what he's saying is the following thing. When he was a young man, playing his guitar, wearing his long hair, and traveling the countryside, and just being a hippie, never in his wildest dreams would he ever imagine that he would find great joy sitting next to the love of his life, whoever that may be. We're saying wife, it might be.
Yeah, it might be boyfriend.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about? What we're talking about, he did not imagine back then that he would find joy in watching Jeopardy and eating a TV dinner next to the love of his life. Okay. Now he went further, and this further illustrates the study. He then says, today, I know that I will never change. Of course he's being facetious.
But he's making the point that that's the way most people are.
Exactly. So most of us marvel at how much we've changed. We look back on our lives and we say, wow, look at all the stuff. I never thought I would be where I am today. I never thought that I would go in this direction. I never, you know. But then when we ask ourselves, where are we going to be in 10 years? Pretty much be the same person. So we never quite connect. We don't get it, you know, that change, certainly if you're ambitious or if, you know, you find joy in exploring life and you're going to change. There's going to be things that change. You know, life happens. What is it that, was it John Lennon that said that?
What?
Yeah, John Lennon said life happens.
No, he didn't. He said life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans.
Well, John Lennon didn't say that, Phil. That sounds far too profound.
Oh, I see. Well, okay. Can we get back to Henry David Thoreau?
Henry David Thoreau said that a man leads a life of quiet desperation.
Are you belching?
Yes, otherwise I would have said to Bud, you're an idiot, because that's not what he said.
But you were belching.
Yes, I was. I was belching. There. Does everybody know? You all know I was belching. I was trying to hide it, but Margaret's pointing it out to you.
Well, I felt it necessary, yeah.
So what did Henry David Thoreau say, Bud?
Henry David Thoreau said...
His name is Thoreau, not Throw.
It's T-H-R...
O-U-R-E-A-U-X.
No, it is not. What a gloid.
Don't call me a gloid, okay?
It's T-H-O-R-E-A-U...
Yeah?
I don't know.
X. Anyway, what did he say, Bud?
Most men lead lives of quiet desperation.
Exactly. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation, but on this show, our desperation is right out in the open. It's loud and it's in your face. On the Phil Hendry Show, we lead lives... Never mind.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's the life we lead. Truth is our bitch.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my God. She's a lovely girl.
Yeah. This Hannah Storm story, did you guys know this story?
I know about it, no.
Hannah Storm is going to be back on the air, so the good news is she's returning to television this week sometime. Maybe she already has. But she had a gas grill accident, Talk about, you know, life experience. She had a gas grill accident that we've all had. Sooner or later, everybody does this dumb thing. 3 weeks after a gas grill accident that burned off much of her hair and left her with second-degree burns, ESPN anchor Hannah Storm will return to the air on... Well, this is an old story. This is New Year's Day, so she's back on the air as of New Year's Day. Why is this story so old?
Well, Phil, you're pulling old news.
Well, all right, I may be pulling old news, but the fact that this gas grill accident, man, I didn't know about, I don't think anybody else did, unless you were just religiously watching Hannah Storm and her every move. And I suppose there are some guys.
Yeah, man, you're on YouTube. There's some guys out there. They're in love with Hannah Storm, and they have all the pictures of her and her legs, too.
Yeah, they got... There's one guy that has a video channel of Jamie Colby from Fox, and it'll be like, hey, here's Jamie. I got one of her walking.
What? What? What are you talking about?
I'm saying there's a guy on YouTube... Forget it.
Bud, no, really, I just didn't understand.
I'm saying there's a guy on YouTube that has a Jamie Colby video of her walking.
A Jamie Colby video of her walking.
Yeah, the guy thinks it's hot.
Jamie Colby of Fox walking.
Yes, I guess these guys think it's hot when they see one of these anchors walking around because they all look like they've got...
Like they've got what?
If you look at Jamie Colby, or you looked at that really cute blonde on Fox, Megyn Kelly, you know the one?
Yeah.
All right. When you watch them walking, they walk like they have...
Like they have what?
They've got a pole stuck up there.
Margaret, we're going to have to work this out, okay?
Work out what?
The whispering. I'm on the radio.
I am a lady.
Well, okay, I'll say it.
Go ahead.
She's walking like she's got... like there's a pole wedged.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly of Fox News walks like she's got a pole wedged.
Yes.
And so does Jamie Colby.
Yeah.
Now, why do you suppose that is?
I think it's because of the high heels. They've got those girls in those enormous heels. And if you saw Jamie Colby... I'll tell you when I... Not Jamie Colby, Megyn Kelly. I saw her on the Fox News coverage of the election back in November. And she was walking down a hallway to the Fox decision desk or something like that because there was some Karl Rove-generated controversy. As usual, you don't understand why people dislike Karl Rove, Phil, but this is exactly why. He can't keep his big fat mouth shut. He's always causing a problem. Always. And that's why people don't like Karl Rove. You don't understand.
All right. I'm willing to understand, Margaret. Is this the thing when he said that he thought that Ohio was still going to go for for Romney?
Yes, and Jamie Colby walked back there. Well, they had a long shot of her coming down the hallway with the camera, and she was walking as if she was trying to get something out of her you-know-what.
She was walking as if she was trying... Was she holding the microphone with two hands?
No, that's just it. She had one hand, and you didn't see the other hand.
And it looked like it was behind her, and she was trying to unwedge something. Oh, you see, this is where people think you're shocked. You're actually laughing.
I am laughing. You're telling me she's walking down the hall with one hand behind her?
Yeah, because of the way she was walking.
If you saw it, Mr. Hartman.
Let's get, is it Don Berman? Can we get Don Berman on the line? Because Don is a television anchor, and maybe he understands a little bit more what it is you guys are talking about than I do. Don Berman from Channel 19 is on the line with us here. Don, you heard this, right?
What they're trying to say, Phil, is, and it may be, Margaret, you may be right, because of the high heels these girls wear. Megyn Kelly was in very, very high, three-inch heels.
They're extremely high, Phil. They're not open toe or anything like that. They're black high heels, but they're very, very, they look very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and so the effect is that when these girls are walking, they walk as if they're trying to get something out of their blankety blank.
Well, there's only two areas.
Shut up, bud. I'll do it, okay? There's only two areas that...
Oh, you're doing it a lot better.
Well, no, I don't mean... please understand, Phil, I would not talk in that manner on your program. Please rest assured I won't do that.
Okay.
I'm not talking about where... I'm not talking about where babies come from. I'm talking about where the other... You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on for a minute.
Well, don't put me on hold like I'm some cheap.
All right, so...
You just put him on hold. Now, you know what that's going to...
If he busts off a hold, he busts off a hold. But what I'm trying to say, if you'll pardon me, is that we don't have to...
Hey! You don't put me on hold, and Phil, I told you...
Okay, so I just hung up on him. So there you go.
Well, so that's what you're going to do.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hang up on anybody busting off a hold. Now... Jamie Colby and Megyn Kelly walk like they've got something wedged up there, you know what, and it's not where babies come from. Is that what I'm supposed to be talking about here?
You asked the question, Phil.
No, I didn't ask any. I was asking about Hannah Storm returning to work after having her face burned off by a gas.
Her face was not burned off.
I tell you what, hold on, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Yeah! I just didn't break off a hold.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
If San Diego State is all that, why aren't they ranked? Every year I see Boise State in there. Every year now I'm seeing Louisville. Every year I'm seeing schools that traditionally, I know Louisville has been competitive in terms of college football, but, San Diego State, Bud, your big team, right?
I like them too.
Yeah, Robert likes them.
Okay, both of you guys. Where's San Diego State? Every year I keep hearing about San Diego. What a program, San Diego State. San Diego State has never challenged for a national title ever.
Well, neither Boise State. What are you talking about Boise State for?
Boise State, man. Every freaking year I'm looking at Boise State as like at or near the top 20. San Diego State isn't. And here's Louisville again. San Jose State this year. I see San Jose State there. There's Boise State, like I was saying. There's Utah State. There's Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois is ranked 16th. When was the last time I saw Northern Illinois ranked at anything? And yet, every year since the days that Don Coryell was down there, I would hear about San Diego State this and San Diego State that and San Diego State something else. San Diego State, excuse me, I don't mean to be, disrespecting San Diego. I mean, although... I think I will. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you don't like San Diego. Everybody knows that.
No, that's not true at all.
Yeah, well, you're always bagging on him.
I bag on San Diego in a good-natured way. I don't mean it in any mean-spirited way. I bag on them the way they bag on us. You know, calling us smelly and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, they also call, San Francisco the gay area instead of Bay Area.
Who does?
San Diego.
They call San Francisco the gay area?
Yeah. On account of San Diego's conservative and everything, they don't like gays.
Oh, get out of here. They don't like gays. It's a conservative city. There's no question. I'm not willing to concede to you, Bud, some mass homophobia down there, okay?
Well, Bud does have a point. San Diego's got a problem with blacks. And...
Oh, will you stop it? Look, whether or not... the whole state of California is not as it seems. California, people like to think, is very liberal and accepting. And I got news for you folks. And I'm probably not telling people from out of state anything. I will tell people in state, here in California, whoever's listening to me, whatever stations we have left. No. But California is not the end-all, be-all of acceptance and tolerance. It's one of the most segregated states in the union. And Los Angeles leads the pack, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of just segregated communities. Not because it's like some Jim Crow thing, but it just, the city grew up that way. There's a black section of Los Angeles, there are white sections, the Hispanic sections, the Asian, and never the twain shall meet, man.
Well, that is very, very cruel of you to indict an entire city, one that has a very liberal reputation, and the film stars that live here. And I think it's wrong, Phil.
Oh, it's wrong for me to tell the truth? Well, it's too bad. I'm not blaming film stars for it. I'm telling you that's how the city grew up. But the point that I'm making, I don't want to get into race. San Diego State ain't nothing, all right? So would you stop with San Diego State?
What are they ranked this year?
I just got done telling you they're not ranked, okay?
Yeah, no, we're talking about the Aztecs.
Yeah, the Aztecs. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. What are they ranked?
Do you want me to say it again?
Are you stupid, bud? He said they're not ranked.
They're not ranked, okay?
Yeah, but, okay, last year.
I don't know about last year.
No, we're talking about the San Diego State Aztecs. What's their ranking?
Are you an idiot or something? I just told you.
He says they're not ranked.
That's impossible.
Is it impossible? I got news for you, friend. I'm looking at the AP Top 25, and there ain't no San Diego State here. Nowhere, no how, Jack. But Kent State is ranked 25th.
That's no way. Where's San... Give me that. Let me see.
Take my phone. There, I'll hold it up and you can look at it.
Where's San Diego State?
It ain't here, man. San Diego State ain't ranked. Will you quit? But I'm telling you, stop with your Pied Piper dream of San Diego State being ranked. They ain't ranked. Do you understand? They suck. Do you got it? I hope I'm, you know... getting through to you.
And you're trying to tell me that Kent State is.
I'm not only trying to tell you, I am telling you. See, right there, number 25, Kent State. All right? And see right there, what's that say?
Boise.
Boise State.
What's that?
A school in Idaho that's ranked.
Bud, do you understand what Phil's saying? San Diego State's football team is not on the rankings of the teams.
Yeah, in the top 25. You saying they're not there?
No, man, I'm not saying that. Yes, what do you think I've been trying to tell you? They're not there. You guys kill me. You San Diego State fans just slay me. You guys always think you cats are some kind, you got a national profile. You ain't got diddly squat, you understand? Boise State has got more of a national profile than you cats. You know.
What about Brigham Young? Remember, are they ranked?
Brigham Young? Why are you talking about Brigham Young?
Well, you know, Brigham Young, everybody used to talk about Brigham Young. They ain't ranked now.
Well, okay, Brigham Young ain't ranked. What's the point?
You talk about San Diego State?
Let me explain something to you nuts. Brigham Young won a national championship. Whether you think they deserved it or not, whether you think that they were worthy of it or not, is not my interest. I'm just here to tell you, Brigham Young won a national championship, okay? Boise State is ranked in the top 20, okay? I'm just giving you the facts. San Diego State ain't none of that. They never won a national championship. They're not ranked in the top 20. They ain't nowhere, no how. Okay? So read it and weep, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Are they going to play? Well, you'll get mad.
Are they going to play what? Football? Yes, I imagine they will.
No, are they in a bowl game?
I don't know. Who cares, man?
They've got so many bowl games, you'd be surprised if they weren't.
Yeah, they got to be in at least a bowl. Are they going to be in the Sun? What's the Sun Chip Bowl?
Yeah.
The Sun Chip Bowl? I have no idea. I could care less about the Sun. That sounds about as dull as paint drying. The Sun Chip. I'll tell you what I did watch the other day, and I thought I was going to... I would have rather hang myself. It was the Sun Bowl with SC. Did you see that stupid game?
No.
USC was in the Sun Bowl against Georgia Tech. Did I care? No. You know?
Yeah, but that's your favorite team.
I don't give a damn. Do I care about the Sun? Let me tell you something, man. The Rose Bowl, maybe. Maybe. And even now, I'm bored to tears with a Rose Bowl. The national championship game, of course. Everybody wants to be in that game. The Sun Bowl, I turned that on for 5 minutes, and I began to fashion a noose. Okay?
Phil, would you stop that? Because there are young people out there that might take your example.
And fashion a noose?
A zoo?
Yeah, you almost said zoo.
I was going to say fashion a Zeus, and I said noose.
What's that?
A noose, a thing you hang... Are you trying to tell me that I'm now influencing somebody to kill himself?
If they're listening to this show and they had the same reaction to this show that you had of a Sun Bowl...
Well, that's great, bud. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, it stands to reason.
Well, okay, thanks. So somebody's listening to my show right now, and they feel the way I felt when I was watching the Sun Bowl fashion a noose? Okay, yeah, well, go ahead, man.
Well, see, that's irresponsible.
No, I mean, what am I going to say? If you're fashioning a noose right now because you can't stand my radio show, please don't do that. You better just turn the dial. Just turn the dial.
Well, why didn't you do that?
Because I didn't think of it. Because I was stupid, I guess. All right, so does that finally conclude, you know, I'm not trying to say I won the debate. I'm not even saying that we had a debate. I just get tired of listening to you jackasses with your San Diego State this and your San Diego State that.
Yeah, you're always talking about SC this, SC that.
Yeah, talk about a Trojan.
Okay, guess what? I have reason to talk about SC. They've won national championships. They get ranked nationally. They've got a good football team year in and year out. It isn't that they think they're good. They are good. Okay, yeah, they, you know, get into trouble with the recruiting and Pete Carroll's in Seattle and we don't care and that's fine. But the point being, they got a good football team. They prove it year in and year out. San Diego State doesn't prove anything other than the fact that they got a big fat mouth talking about how good they are. They suck. Do you understand? Suck. S-U-X. Suck. All right, we'll be right back. Well, sorry to have to put it on a bummer note like that.
Phil, that was that was unnecessary.
Well, all right, but you were egging me on. We'll be back with a look at Notre Dame and Alabama, a real game. Okay, these are real football teams. And there's the big national championship game coming up on Monday, and we'll take a look at it when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Danny, Phil Hendry Show.
San Diego State's not going to play what?
In the national championship.
No.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
You know what, man? As long as we're talking about giving people crap, UCLA got their ass handed to them by Baylor. I mean, they got their ass kicked by Baylor. And UCLA was ranked 17th in the nation. So these rankings, you know, who knows? Boise State beat Washington. I'm just, and then here is San Jose State beating Bowling Green. SC, I don't even know what the score of that SC game was.
You talk about SC and the Sun Chip.
Not the Sun Chip Bowl. It was called the Sun Bowl. I don't know what it was. But coming up on Monday is the national championship game. Alabama is favored by 10. Are you loving that or what?
What are you talking about?
Alabama's favored by 10, man. They're given 10 points.
Are you nuts? They got Jesus. That's a Catholic school.
So?
What's that got to do with it?
Are you serious? They got, like, the Virgin Mary and everything?
What about the Virgin Mary? Well, let's talk some football, bud. Talk a little reality, okay? Get out of here with their Catholic school.
That's all I'm saying is it's Notre Dame.
What difference does it make, man? I got to go out and play the football game.
Yeah, but they pray and everything.
So they pray. So what? Don't you think the Alabama guys pray?
They're not on a... It's not a Christian... You don't understand.
No, you don't understand, man. Just because they're genuflecting before the Virgin Mary, that you know, with all due respect, that doesn't mean they're going to win the football game.
Well, don't you think that's at least worth 10 points?
Bud, look, you know, I don't know where you're coming from with all of this stuff, okay?
Quit talking like I'm crazy, man. Don't you think that's worth 10 points?
No, if I'm a gambler and I'm in Vegas and I'm standing there and I'm talking to other gamblers and we're betting the line and we're going in, I'm not going to say, hey, you know what? They, after all, the Virgin Mary's on their side, man. You know, I think that's worth, what, 3 points? That is not sense. That's nuts. That's just, that doesn't factor into what makes, you know, people bet on football games. Right now, all the money's going on Alabama. You know, it's kind of surprising to me, but hey, Alabama, you know.
Well, what about Alabama? You were the one that said that the SEC teams don't play anybody but each other.
I was quoting somebody else, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. Nearly every time Notre Dame was set to field a punt during the 2011 season, its designated return man was given one set of instructions: drop back, raise your hand in the air to signal a fair catch, and secure the ball. The accompanying thought, the hand waving back and forth might as well have had a white flag attached to it. Things haven't gone precipitously better in the Irish return game, despite some special teams coaching reassignments and players brought on with specific talents that could fill the need. Alabama at least has a hint of game-changing ability in its return game, and that makes for one of the most interesting dynamics of the BCS title game Monday at Sun Life Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. So they're saying that the return games of these two teams will figure prominently, meaning punt returns, kickoff returns, meaning the possibility of scoring points off of that aspect of the game. Maybe nothing will happen. Odds are, even with the Tide's explosiveness on returns, nothing will happen. But if something does happen, the entire game may swing on it. So they're talking about the return games of these two ball clubs. I don't know. But here's the point. Alabama's a 10-point favorite in that ball game.
You were talking about how Alabama is... They think they're all that because they're in the SEC, and they don't play other football teams, and that means that they're going to be fair game, be knocked off.
I don't know if it's true or not. I've heard somebody say that the SEC teams, there's so many teams in the Southeastern Conference, they wind up having to play each other, and they don't have time to play other teams from around the country. I don't think that that's necessarily true. But college football being college football, a little bit more unpredictable and explosive than professional football, you know. But I got to tell you, man, there's a lot of really smart money there's a lot of really smart money that's on Alabama. Now, I've seen a lot of smart money go wrong before. And am I a Notre Dame fan? Yeah, I'm only a Notre Dame fan a couple of times a year. When Notre Dame's in a national championship and SC isn't there. Every year that SC plays Notre Dame, I'm an SC fan. I could give a crap about Notre Dame. And everybody that I know that I grew up with, that I went to school with, that's Catholic, they root for Notre Dame.
You're kidding. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Every Catholic I know in L.A. roots for Notre Dame when they play SC. And they also, they go back to South Bend for the game. It's like a real Catholic event.
What about you?
I don't care. I root for Notre Dame one time if they're in a national game. And I root for SC. Okay?
Yeah, but you're not a very good Catholic.
Oh, I see. I'm not a very good Catholic. Is that it?
Well, it stands to reason, Phil. Why don't you root for Notre Dame?
No, it doesn't stand to reason. It's got nothing to do with my religion. There's nothing in my religion that says I got to root for Notre Dame.
And yet, what you're saying, Mr. Henry, if you're going to be honest about it, every Catholic, what you know, they do.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dickman. Jesus.
Well, don't get bitter about it, Phil. If you don't root for Notre Dame, the question is that good or bad?
Margaret, I'm not going to burn in hell because I don't root for Notre Dame. I got news for you, okay? And I don't give a damn who you get on the line. Who's that?
Father McQuarters.
I just talked. Father, we didn't mean to get you out of bed.
No, I was listening to the radio. I heard what you were saying about Notre Dame and the fact that you're not rooting for them. No, it's not going to condemn you to hell. There's no question that you can root for any football team that you want. But as you know, we prefer that you band together and support Notre Dame as a university. and that would include supporting the football team. Now, if you want to root for Alabama, that makes no sense at all.
No, I got... did you hear what I just said?
Now, hold on. It makes no sense at all for you to root for Alabama. Because you know that Alabama has no respect at all. They've got no respect for the football teams outside of what you call the SEC.
Did you hear what I just said, Father?
What did you say?
I said that I'm rooting for Notre Dame because I root for Notre Dame if they ain't in any game against SC. I'll root for them.
Yeah, because you know that Alabama has no respect for any team outside of the SEC. They think everyone else is gay. You hear it over and over again.
Well, I've never heard that.
Well, you hear it over and over again. All these Southeastern Conference teams, they think everyone else is gay. And they think that the Notre Dame and SC, especially the University of Southern California, they think the University of Southern Queer. And
I've never heard that, okay? That might have been the case once upon a time. I don't think it's the case anymore. I think they've got respect of other teams.
No, they think they're all a bunch of queers. And as a result, I can't have any respect for Alabama. And that's why I root for Notre Dame. And that's why I would root for Notre Dame against any team. And going to Bud's point, yes, the Virgin Mary, the players pray to Our Lady Notre Dame, Our Lady. So they pray for Our Lady of Grace. And they hope that Our Lady of Grace will bless the game and give them victory. And if you can't get behind a team like that, then why not question the faith and the Catholicism of an individual? You see what I mean?
No, I don't see what you mean. No, I don't. Just because those guys are praying to the Virgin Mary doesn't mean I've got to be a Notre Dame fan. So I don't see that.
You don't see that?
No, I don't.
So you'd rather root for this University of Southern Queers?
Okay, see, I knew that...
Well, I mean, you asking for it, having him on the air twice.
I didn't call him up and put him on the air. You guys did. All right, so anyway, Notre Dame and Alabama on Monday, and we hope you enjoy it. And I wouldn't. I was going to say I'd take the points.
Why not?
Because I won't take. I will. Just for laughs, I would. But anyway, Alabama favored by 10 in that ball game. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. And we also have our podcast that's available over on iTunes. We have a daily podcast. Episode 100, we hit a milestone. We hit an epic. We hit the heights, baby, today. And so I guess that means tomorrow's is 101 with our 100th podcast. And this Phil Henry podcast has taken off. This thing has, we're breaking our download record every month with this thing. And
well, how many downloads you got?
I mean, we're in the hundreds of thousands now, hundreds of thousands of downloads, and every month we're higher and higher than the previous month. So people are, you know, turning on to the Phil Henry podcast, and as a result, we're rolling out the new design of our website, which is this, you know, week. So I would suggest that you get over and get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry website and enjoy our new design and new features, especially for you iPhone and your iPad users. At philhenryshow.com. 2013 is going to be epic. And just to prove to you that I'm not like most people, when I say the next 10 years, no, I don't think I'm going to be the same person in 10 years. I think I'm going to have evolved into something almost intergalactic. I think my brain, my cranium will be larger. I think I will have X-ray vision, and I think I'll be able to read minds this point 10 years from now. And our website will be better than ever. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Think you'll be able to read mine?
Yes, I think I'll be able to read mine. I already can read yours, bud, and it ain't pretty.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Which one?
The two-headed robot that floats. Everyone knows that. That's one.
Back on the Phil Henry Show, because these guys were watching the Twilight Zone marathon, was it?
Yeah, they had a Twilight Zone marathon on all night, I think Christmas.
Well, everyone knows that the best one was the pig face. The pig face.
Right.
The pig face, you know, we're talking about Twilight Zones, folks. You think that's the best one, huh?
Not only do I think it's the best one, it's hand everyone that you talk to knows that it's the pig face.
What are you talking about, a pig face?
The one where the lady's got her face bandaged up, and when they finally take the bandages off, she looks normal, and everybody's got, like, pigged up faces and stuff.
What?
You guys don't remember that one.
No, the one I'm talking about, this was classic, as a two-headed robot, and it gives a guy strength, right? And
I know that one, bud. That's not even near the best Twilight Zone. Are you out of your mind?
What two-headed robot?
The two-headed robot comes floating in, and he made a bet with himself.
The two-headed robot came floating in and made a bet with himself, and that's the one you call the best Twilight Zone in history.
That, to me, that's hands down.
You're out of your mind.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think, personally, the one that I related to...
Without the big build-up, Phil, which one? Without the big build-up, Phil...
Excuse me, but I'm getting to it, okay?
Fine. But you know and I know it's the pig face.
What are you talking about, a pig face?
Robert, are you listening to me? Did you watch The Twilight Zone or didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay.
The one I liked was the one with the little boy and the prize fighter.
Yeah, okay, I know that one, but never, you know, Margaret's talking about the one where the lady, you know, she's in the hospital and her face is bandaged.
Yeah.
And she, you know, you're thinking you're looking at a woman who's having some plastic surgery because her face is really wrecked, okay?
Yeah.
You guys don't, this isn't ringing a bell, huh?
Not at all, man.
No, the one I liked was the two-headed robot.
Yeah, that one and the Civil War.
Well, all right, but I mean, with the one Margaret's talking about, everybody knows the lady's got her face bandaged up.
And she's got a pig face.
No, she doesn't have a pig. I can't believe you guys have watched The Twilight Zone. You don't know the pig face one. Everybody knows that one.
Well, what's the one you were talking about?
The one that I like was the one where the guys are astronauts and they land on what they think is another planet. It turns out they're in the desert near Reno.
What? You're out of your mind, man. That wasn't on TV.
Look, bud, don't make me hurt you, okay? Because already you're an idiot because you don't know the pig face one. Now you're trying to tell me that the one that they are in the desert, that doesn't exist.
I barely know that one.
Well, I'm telling you right now, all three of you people are nuts, okay?
Wait. Is that the one where the little boy is looking at a prize fighter? He keeps going, come on, you can do it.
No, this is the one where there's astronauts. They go into outer space, they think. They land on what they think is a barren desert planet. They're lost on radar. The radar at Cape Canaveral, wherever the hell they launched from, lost them. And meanwhile, they've landed in this desert, and they think they're on some asteroid, and they think they're, you know, they've crash-landed. They don't know where they are, and they start walking and walking and walking, and gradually they fight over the water, and they wind up killing each other, and only one guy, I think, survives, and he realizes that they're actually near Reno.
That is ass. Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
But the way you tell it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It ain't funny. Believe me, it wasn't funny. Because what happened was one of the guys was delirious from lack of water, and he came back to tell them what he had seen, and he tries to draw it in the dirt. And he's drawing what looks like a cross with two things, like, you know, and what he was trying to draw was a telephone pole.
And it was Reno, Nevada.
Yeah. You don't remember that one?
No, I don't remember that one. And this pig face, man, you...
Yeah, you must be thinking of another show.
No, it's not another show.
But you know what? You don't know jack squat about Twilight Zone if you don't know this pig face show. You don't know a damn thing about the Twilight Zone.
Why? Just because we don't know that one?
Everybody knows that one. So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about that little boy. He sees a prize fighter. He says, come on, you got to believe. You got to believe, right?
Yeah, I know that one. That was a cute one. I like that.
Cute? That's the best one ever.
No. The double-headed robot.
The double-headed robot. You two clowns came up with two Twilight Zones that are forgettable. I mean, yes, it was a good. They were fine, but they're not the legendary ones like the pig face and the guy that was in the desert and he thought he was in Reno.
Well, the way you tell it, Phil, you butchered it. You butchered both of those episodes of Twilight Zone beyond recognition.
What did I do?
The pig face and the one that the guy thinks he's in Reno. You make it sound like it's all a big... The pig face was one of the most... I think that was Donna Douglas at her best. Now we know the work she did as Ellie Mae Clampett. We know that work, and it stands on its own. There's no question. But...
Wait. What do you mean Ellie Mae Clampett?
Is that the same lady?
You know Donna Douglas.
Yeah.
That was the woman in the pig face.
Oh, she was the lady in that,
Yes, she was Ellie Mae. The work she did as Ellie Mae Clampett is subtle and stands on its own.
Look, Margaret, with all due respect to Ms. Douglas, the work she did as Ellie Mae Clampett, are you trying to tell me that that's some kind of, great acting? I mean, you're right about the Twilight Zone.
Well, she played a very funny character.
No, I know that, but don't give me the stands on its own, like the, you know, we're talking about some Laurence Olivier thing. But I didn't know she was, yeah, you're right, she was the actress who had the normal face.
Yes, and, Bud, what we're trying to tell you is this girl who has her face bandaged up, you think she's got the face of, like, Hannah Storm after that gas fire. All right?
Yeah.
Now...
Well, wait a minute. Hannah Storm after the gas... First of all, folks, we never did finish that story. Hannah Storm was not disfigured. She got a first-degree burn on her face. She's back, did the Rose Parade. She's back in the saddle. She's doing her television. It could have been a disaster, but it wasn't.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hendry, but if you light a gas grill and there's been nothing but gas building up and it explodes in your face, if you'll pardon the expression...
Yeah?
You're not going to look too good.
Well, I don't know, but the point being that Donna Douglas in this episode of Twilight Zone was normal-looking, and the doctors and the nurses all had a pigged-out-looking face... And you find out that this woman lives in some sort of an alternate universe where the norm is ugly and being what we call beautiful is considered ugly. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Well, why would he understand the way you just said it?
Because I never had to explain this episode before because everybody I know knows it, all right?
What about this one about the guy in Reno?
Yeah, what's that?
The guy in Reno, it wasn't a guy in Reno, it was a rocket ship that got shot into outer space, and they land in the desert, and they think they're on another planet, and they're not. They're actually on Earth. And it's only too late that they realize they're on Earth, because they all died from beating each other up and fighting over water, and these were always the themes of the Twilight Zone. This was Rod Serling's favorite kind of theme. He loved the weaknesses and the prejudices of the human species, and he liked to articulate that on the Twilight Zone. He loved to see us, how destructive we could be when we didn't work together, how ignorant we were with each other, how prejudiced we were with each other. That was the Twilight Zone was about that. And how these astronauts, because they couldn't keep their heads about them and because they fought with each other over this water, didn't realize that they were actually back on Earth. That they were very close to a town where they could go and get help. But instead, they fought over this water, and they were violent with each other. And I think they, you know, eventually did each other in until this one last guy is left. And just before he dies, he sees Reno City Limits.
That's that show.
What show?
Reno City Limits, man, you're talking about it.
And I'm not talking about any show named Reno City... See, this is the whole thing. I'm going to start to rethink having you guys talk about this stuff because I think you're too young. You don't remember the Twilight Zone.
Yes, I do, man.
No, you don't. If you're telling me about the pig face you never heard of and the two-headed robot, that thing just kicks ass. All right. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with you. And after the show, of course, we will put up on our website our show log, which generally is where we discuss how the show went. Last night, the show log simply said Phil was in a really bad mood. Is that right?
Yes, that's all we decided to put there.
Okay, well, we'll have decidedly more on the show log, I can assure you, tonight. I'm pretty sure we will have more on the show log tonight because, there's a lot more going on. Not that it's any more intelligent than what happened last night. And I can tell you, that's an argument you're never going to win. What's the best Twilight Zone episode? But I damn sure never met anybody that never saw the pig face one.
You keep saying the pig face one. You don't even describe it.
I just got done describing it for you, okay?
You're talking about Beverly Hillbilly.
No, that was the girl in Beverly... Oh.
Forget it. All right, PhilHendryShow.com for our show log. We'll be right back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Henry.
Didn't know that one. Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. You know, this is.
I'm a big Twilight Zone fan. I know you don't know. Now you don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it. But the one I'm talking... No, I don't believe it, because if you don't know the pig face one, you're just...
No, you that's prejudice of you, man. Just because we don't know one, you know. Say another one.
Another big one?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is a big one, but this is one that I thought was pretty heavy. It was the one where the guys are talking... There are two guys sitting in a men's club, like a gentleman's club, where they have brandy and cigars and that kind of jazz, right?
Yeah.
And this one guy was blah, 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 always talking. And the other guy finally says to him, you know what? You're the biggest blabbermouth in this joint. I don't think you have half the money you say you do. All you do is talk, yap, yap, yap. You'll never shut up. He says, I'm going to bet you. I'll bet you. And he bets him some enormous amount of money.
Oh, I know this one, yes. In fact, I know the actors that were, or I knew the actors that were in it. Josh Gibbons and Will Gibbon, I think, or something.
Josh Gibbons and Will Gibbon.
Yes. Both the names were... They were names of... The reason why I know their names is they were like they were monkey names, I thought. Maybe it's not Gibbon.
Monkey names.
Ape?
No, not ape. Phil, grow up, will you? Everything is a joke to you.
Margaret, forget about who the actors were. Can I just...
Yes, go ahead. But I think it was Josh Gibbons, or Josh Gibbon and Will Gibbon.
Josh Gibbon and Will Gibbon. And they're not related.
No.
All right, well, in any event, these two guys are talking, and this one guy is just blah, blah, blah. So the guy says to him, you can't keep your mouth shut for a year. I'll bet you... this enormous amount of money. I forget what the dollar amount was predicated on, but it was some enormous amount of money. And so the guy says, I'll take that bet. He says, but, he says, you're going to have to be here in the club in a glassed-in enclosure. You have to live here for a solid year. You can't say a word. We're going to have speakers that monitor you. So it was very, very controlled, okay? So he would be there.
So what if he has to go to the bathroom?
Bud, I don't know, but he's in this glass. I guess he's got to go to the bathroom in front of the guy. You know, he's in this glassed-in thing. The point being that he was always going to be observed by the other members or the man that bet him. This guy's saying, I'll bet you can't keep your mouth shut for a year. But if you can, you win all this money from me. The guy's like, I'll take the bet. So the guy allows himself to be enclosed in this glass little, you know, room. That is can be seen by everybody in the club, and this is where he lives for a year. And he keeps his mouth shut for a solid year, for a whole year. And finally, at the end of that year, they let the guy out. And the other guy that said, I bet you can't do it, now he's got to pay up. And he comes to the guy and he says, you know what? You proved me wrong. You proved me wrong. You're the better man. I lost the bet. You were able to keep your mouth shut for a whole year. You didn't say a word. And unfortunately, I have to tell you that I don't have the money to pay you.
Yes, I remember this now.
Yeah, I do not have the money.
So he welched the bet.
He totally welched the bet. He says to this guy, I'm sorry, you're a far better man than me. But the guy's not talking.
Oh, man, I think I saw this one.
What happened?
Well, what happened was the guy that isn't talking pulls away this ascot that he had wrapped around his throat, and he has a scar on his throat. He had his vocal cords cut.
Oh, my God, and the other man...
The guy doesn't owe him any money.
What do you mean he doesn't owe him any money?
Well, he cheated.
Why is that cheating? The bet was, don't say a word.
Yeah, but you can if you get your vocal cord cut.
It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make it... Why would that make any difference?
It's cheap.
It is kind of cheap.
Cheap? This dude, he had his vocal cords cut. In other words, this man will never say another word again as long as he lives. And on top of that, he did that because this money was going to mean a lot to him. I guess he had to pay off a lot of debts or something. So this guy deadbeats him. He welches the bet, which usually means you get something broken. And there's no money, and the guy has lost his vocal cords because he had them cut. So at least that was the Twilight Zone that I saw that was very spooky, you know.
Well, yeah, but I don't feel that sorry for the guy.
But, you know, I don't know what makes you tick, man. I really don't, you know.
No.
I mean, a guy goes out and gets his vocal cords cut so he will make damn sure he doesn't say anything so he can win this bet because he needs the money. I would say that's a huge sacrifice, and there wasn't anything in the bet that they apparently made that said you couldn't have your vocal cords cut. So, in any event, that was that Twilight Zone. Insane, man. Insane world. Insane show. Fantastic show, though. I loved it. Teen boasts of drunken driving on Facebook and is arrested. This is from our ongoing file, folks, which is, if you say it on social media, yes, it's still against the law, okay? So, in other words, if you talk about it on social media, it doesn't mean that you are immune from arrest. If you beat somebody up, if you throw a puppy off a cliff, if you shoot somebody, if you do anything illegal and you are dumb enough to talk about it or show it on social media or on the internet or on YouTube, you can still be arrested. Okay? Do you get it? An Oregon teen posts a boast on Facebook that he has been tipsy at the wheel. He apologizes to the owners of cars he hit. Police are less apologetic when they arrest the dumbass. It's been firmly established by Randy Zuckerberg, no less, that Facebook is the home of human decency. How is it possible, then, that 18-year-old Jacob Cox Brown of Astoria, Oregon, did not receive the message? For according to KGW.com, Cox Brown had the indecent temerity to post this to his Facebook page. Driving drunk, classic, but to whoever's vehicle I hit, I'm sorry. This was indeed a classic example of misbegotten sharing. For police, who had concluded that not one, but two vehicles had been struck by an unknown driver, now concluded that the driver was Jacob Cox Brown. How did they manage this? By the saddest reality of all, two of Cox Brown's alleged friends reportedly contact the law in order, one imagines, to restore human decency. The police issued a press release that read, quote, Astoria police have an active social media presence. It was a private Facebook message to one of our officers that got this case moving, though. When you post on Facebook that you have to figure that it's not going to stay private for very long. This is true. No, not long at all, as Randy Zuckerberg can attest. What is this Randy Zuckerberg thing? I don't know. Cox Brown has been charged. Am I missing something with Randy Zuckerberg? Anyway, Cox Brown has been charged with two counts of failing to perform the duties of a driver. These presumably include not hitting other vehicles. While Randy Zuckerberg railed that you can't trust your friends of friends, Cox Brown now seems to have realized that you can't even trust your friends. At least those who claim to be your friends on Facebook.
That was a very poorly written article.
Why?
Because he is referencing someone that not all of us may understand who that person is.
Well, I'm guessing that Randy Zuckerberg is related to Mr. Zuckerberg. The Facebook CEO's sister, yes, she is peeved that a photo she thought she'd posted privately is exposed publicly. And it's quite a photo. She's very lovely in this, and she has her legs... I'm just kidding. No, it's a picture of her sitting on a fax machine. No, I'm just kidding about that, too.
Well, what is it, Phil?
I don't know. Digital etiquette always asks permission before posting a friend's photo publicly. It's not about privacy feelings. It's not about privacy settings. It's about human decency. This was Randy Zuckerberg on Twitter, not on Facebook. All right, well, we'll have to read this in our own time, in our own way, in our own sweet way. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry, and Bud Dickman is here, and so is Margaret Gray, and a whole host of people. And we hope that you continue to join us here night after night after night after bloody night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget to get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Now's the time, man, as we roll out the new design very, very soon of philhendryshow.com. Until then, y'all, have a very, very pleasant and rewarding today. We'll see you tonight. Let that be a lesson to you, whatever you heard.
Phil Hendry.